watching this song descend from the ether in Paul McCartney's brain and come out on his bass as George Harrison and Ringo Starr just watch him, and he gives birth to Get Back and then Let It Be, and then John Lennon gives birth to Don't Let Me Down, and then George Harrison's like, hey guys, do you want to hear All Things Must Pass? And this Beatles doc, this three-part Beatles doc on Disney Plus that Peter Jackson has done, is remarkable. And on my run this morning, one of my dear friends said to me, hey, I don't have Disney Plus, can I come over and watch it? And there was a long pause, and I said no. I just said, I need to watch this alone. I'm sorry. I go back. I'm not just watching it as a Beatles nut, and I love the Beatles. It's because I've never seen such an extensive documentary on maybe the foremost brilliant, maybe the greatest band, but these geniuses, and the access is something just never seen. It's unguarded. It's a crazy document. I feel like we're opening King Tut's tomb, and you get an inside view of creativity, but I'm on the outside of that. Imagine if you've also been in a band, a world-famous band. You've also gone through breakups of your band. Our good friend Stephen Page, who is, of course, the founding member, lead singer, guitarist, and primary songwriter of the Bare Naked Ladies, now an incredible solo artist, joined us yesterday. And he said something that was so powerful. He said, watching this is like triggering for me, and it's connecting on all sorts of levels. So we had to bring Stephen back. And I'm so grateful that you've come back, my friend, because what you said yesterday was so interesting to me, that you're watching this not the way I'm watching it, but you're watching it in, it's like a therapy session for you. Like, how are you as a musician in a huge band watching this?
Well, it is so intense. For me, it's so intense, but it's also, yes, a huge Beatles freak. And I think there is this difference between being a Beatles fan and a Beatles freak, first of all. And like, I'd seen Let It Be a bunch of times, and it seemed, it's dark and it feels grungy and it feels like they're disconnected from each other. So the idea of that struggle isn't new, but something about this, the clarity of the picture, the amazing quality of the mixes, and then all this access to these actual conversations that these people have had, that for me are archetypes. I mean, when you're in a band, I think whether you're a Beatles fan or not, you kind of, part of you goes, well, am I the John or am I the George? Am I the Ringo? Like, well, who am I in this band? For me, I think I felt like that through my life, not even just being in a band. Like, who am I as a person? In my relationships, is it John and Yoko? Is it Paul and Linda? Like, where do I fit? Everything I learned is from them, maybe for worse, not for better.
But and those archetypes are so powerful.
When you said your friend couldn't come over to watch it, I love that, because it's like, that's how I feel.
Yeah, like I can't do it. And even my wife, you know my wife, Tam, she's like, yeah, what are you doing? And I'm like, I can't even get through part one. And I got finally, because I keep rewatching it. There is so much going on. Just watching people in the background. Now, I wanted to ask you something, though, because creativity is the great mystery, right? And you know, if you write one great song in your life that is a global hit, you know, it's an incredible thing to do. You've sort of grabbed a melody out of the air and put it together. It is a miracle of beauty, and everything is that's contained. And these guys were grabbing them like apples coming off the tree in autumn in Canada. Tell me about how creativity is born when you and Ed were on. You know, when you were seamless, it was just like back and forth, right? Stephen and Ed.
Yep.
What was that like? And how do songs get born like that?
Well, you know, I think that you see in this documentary, the connection between Paul and John, even if they're not really in the same space mentally, when they actually sit down to talk, there's a connection there. There's a sense of trust when they're throwing lyrics out back and forth. Like when George says, you know, what could it be? When I'm thinking of something in the way she moves, what? And, you know, so that's part of the bootlegs I've listened to forever when he says, what could it be, Paul?
Right.
And John says, it attracts me like a cauliflower, which is like, and he keeps saying it, like, cauliflower is better. And it's, but they have to tiptoe around George in a way that they don't have to tiptoe around each other. And that's fascinating to me to watch that. And watching, like, Paul just kind of like yelling into the air and Get Back comes out. That is how we all do it. we sit down and you've got an album to make, you have to sit down and write songs. And Ed and I would get together at my place or his place, and
it's like a job. Okay, like they're like, good morning, John. Good morning, Paul. Here's your tea. Yeah. Let's make some brilliant music. Were you and Ed like that? Like, hey, I'll see you at 9 a.m. Let's get cracking.
Absolutely. And lots of like the same stuff they do. We're talking about what we watched on TV last night. Like there's just that kind of water cooler chat and goofing around, but you know you got to get the words in. Sometimes we just sit there and stare. And I'm sure if somebody took a picture or a video of the two of us staring off into space, they'd think, oh, that's depressing. What a depressing breakup for that band. When it had nothing to do with a breakup, it was just us thinking or not coming up with ideas. Like, you know, there's that famous Leonard Cohen quote that I love where he says, if I knew where the good songs came from, I'd go there more often.
Oh, God. I mean, that's it. Like, how hard is that? And, and what's amazing is this, like, when it's good, right? Like, when you and Ed were flowing and it was just like, it was perfect on all. But when you guys were nearing the end, and this is looking at John and Paul, there was different things. You're going different directions personally. The band has been through a lot. And yet in the documentary, when they finally are playing music, it's like everything falls away. Did that happen with you guys? It's like, I don't know, we're not getting along, but when the song is on, it's not like the Police where Sting is ready to punch Stuart Copeland. It's like we're still beautiful together.
Right. I would say like for the life of the band, it was always like that. I mean, there were certainly occasions where somebody on stage was not digging in the way the rest of us were, or you know, whether that was me or somebody else in the group. But for the most part, no matter what friction or distance there was off stage, on stage, like we were. People were surprised that the band even that I split from the group because they thought, you know, you guys are best friends. That's how you come across. Well, while you're playing that music, we were best friends. Like, absolutely. Right. And I see that, like, oh, there's this amazing spot. Like, just, I watched this thing happen like three times. I had to keep going back and watching it. When they go into the electric piano solo.
Yeah.
In, Don't Let Me Down on the rooftop, and they all just jump back. Like it's so electric. And that's just them being connected, like in a way that it's so hard to describe without being in it.
I love that Billy Preston comes on and he refocuses the band. I got 2 minutes here. God, I could talk to you about this forever. You said something that's Leonard Cohen says, I'd go where the songs are. It's hard to write hits. Where do the, does it get, as you get older, as you get more famous, is it harder to find the beautiful melodies? Where do they go?
No, I'm full of melodies. I love melodies. I think for me, the biggest thing is to remind myself to not worry about it. Like, you know, I'm too old to really ever think I'm going to have a hit. And then I get that, you know, Ryan Reynolds thing from this week. Like, it just happens sometimes.
Right.
It's hard to plan for them. All you can do is just be yourself.
Is it fear? Like, are you just fair? Are you, like, the melodies are there, but you get more self-conscious as you get older?
I think sometimes, at least in the middle of your life, I think you can very easily get trapped into thinking, well, is this going to connect with other people? When really, what connects with other people is at least from my experience, is melody and lyrics.
I'm just going to say something, because I love you, and you know I've known you for a long time. You just said something that I hope becomes the tagline for your life. You said, no, I'm full of melodies. That is like the most beautiful thing. It's like saying, no, my soul is full of butterflies and unicorn. The fact that you I'm full of melodies is honestly the most optimistic and beautiful thing. And you know what? You are full of melodies. And that's why people love you. And that, my friend, is literally, I could almost cry to think of being described as I'm full of melodies. Thank you for your melodies, my brother. I'm not kidding. That is the best thing I've heard in a long time from Stephen Page. Of course, full of melodies and beauties all.